Searching for the perfect Mother's Day present? Try Sophyto Pro. That's Sophyto Pro, a natural skincare system now available exclusively through doctors and featured this month at the Hoffman Center store. Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's that time of week again where we visit with Hoffman Center nutritionist Layla Mutin. For those of you who haven't heard our broadcast before, Layla is a registered dietitian, but she's gone on to pursue an advanced master's degree in the field of nutrition. And Layla and I work together on a daily basis at the Hoffman Center, offering a team approach to medical and health problems. Welcome to our weekly Q&A with Layla. Layla.
Hi, Dr. Hoffman. How are you doing?
Good, good. It just seems like we just talked just a day or so ago, but it just, I guess the weeks are just rolling by really fast here.
They are, yeah.
Indeed they are. Okay, yeah. So for our listening audience, those of you who want to get your questions answered, email us your questions to radioprogram@AOL.com, and we won't be able to answer every question. Actually, there was one question we got this week, but it's just so complicated. It would almost be like an entire visit to the Hoffman Center. It would require about an hour of questioning and review of results and analysis and then additional tests to answer. So try to make your questions specific and to the point and of general interest to other listeners. Radioprogram@AOL.com. That's where we will get your questions, and we'll endeavor to answer them on the air. And before we get to questions, I'm very excited because we have a new tool in our arsenal of weapons against acne. You know, acne is something that we've been treating for a long time at the Hoffman Center because there is certainly a nutritional basis for treating acne, and it's a great way to get kids to eat better because kids think, you know, they're going to live forever. They're not worried about heart disease, cancer. They eat all kinds of junk. They don't care. And unless they're overweight, they don't care what they eat. But if their skin breaks out and if they have a prospect of doing better with a diet modification, they'll hunker down and do it, right?
That's true. It's the face, after all.
Right. It's the face that you present to them. And what's more important to an adolescent than their physical appearance, right?
Yeah.
So the new tool that we have in our arsenal, we'll discuss some of the other things we've been doing over the years. It's a great new product called Sophyto Pro. Sophyto Pro. It's actually our featured product at drhoffman.com. So check out the store. Click on, well, actually go to our homepage because it's featured on our homepage, but click on the store and you'll find two Sophyto Pro products. One is just a great natural product called the Pure Daily System for ordinary folks to keep their skin nice and healthy looking, and to prevent wrinkles and rejuvenate the skin. And that's, by the way, a great Mother's Day gift. Mother's Day is coming up, what, May 11th?
That's right.
Yeah, in a couple of weeks. So that would really be a nice, healthy, holistic Mother's Day gift for mom or that important woman in your family. That's the Pure Daily System. But the one I want to talk about is the Skin Restore System, which is billed as a new perspective in treating acne. And it involves clinically studied botanical products that actually help heal the skin and help to make the pores more healthy and kill off some of that surface bacteria that gets in the way. But actually, we don't want to kill off all the bacteria because we want a healthy blend of bacteria on our skin surface, just like in our GI tracts. You know, we don't want to kill
Absolutely.
Everything off.
We don't want to kill the good bacteria.
Right, right.
Like with an antibacterial soap, which contains triclosan, that kills the good bacteria as well and is a xenoestrogen, as we know now. But
also, yeah. You wouldn't want to eat that soap bar. Because that would just,
no.
It would poison you, number one. But it would also kill all the beneficial bacteria in your intestinal tract. It's powerful antiseptics in there, chemicals. So the kind of thing that we put on our skin, since it's actually an absorptive surface, we want to, actually, I mean, you could, if one of your, if a toddler got a hold of this stuff and drank the whole bottle, there would be no problem. So, you know, they would just, you know, maybe burp. And it probably tastes good too because it's made with natural herbs. But these products are tested as safe in animals and in humans. Actually, they don't even do animal testing like some of the cosmetic companies. Cruelty free.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So it's the product is Sofito Pro. But let's talk about some other things that we can do other than applying this nice skin protective system. What are some of the things you recommend?
Yeah, one of the first things for acne is I'm a big proponent of the paleo diet for acne because the removal of so many foods that people react to, dairy especially, is a very, very big culprit. Dairy, besides making phlegm and mucus in the body, is also clogging the pores. When we're clogging our pores, that gets set up for an outbreak for pimples. So paleo diet for acne, but certain other supplements.
Yeah, actually, by the way, that's a download from, I think if you go to the Paleo Diet, that's a little e-book that you can purchase that is written by Lauren Cordain. And he actually tested this clinically with it was a pretty good-sized study where he ran a bunch of people through this protocol. I guess they were young kids with acne. And there was like a very, very high success rate, like 95% success rate in terms of improvement of skin.
So there's that. There's looking at any allergenic foods. Food allergy testing, I think, is appropriate here as well because it's inflammation, and acne is inflammation in the skin. Other things, we need to clean up the gut because anything going on in the gut is eventually going to show up on the skin, whether it's acne, whether it's eczema, whether it's psoriasis. A detox may be warranted. That's why people start looking more rejuvenated and radiant after a detox. I think that's also helpful.
You know, I always have this just observation is, you know, we're on 6th Avenue. Hoffman Center is located in 6th Avenue in Chelsea part of Manhattan, and there's a lot of fast food eateries there, and they think it's enticing to have these big, giant picture windows there to entice the, you know, everybody's like chowing down on their French fries and their burgers, so it looks enticing, and it kind of sucks you in from the street. But I look through those windows as I walk by those places, and it is proof positive that eating that type of food is not good for your skin because the people in those places have
and not just
awful
in the form
skin.
Of acne,
yeah,
but in a lack of radiance,
yes,
in bags under the eyes, in puffiness,
yeah,
you know, in looking tired,
yeah,
you know, that's not all about a lack of sleep all the time,
and they're just like smoking causes wrinkles to occur early,
yeah,
eating foods that are high in toxic and free radical producing substances and low in anti-inflammatory nutrients allows the skin to age much more rapidly. So Gaia is clearly a benefit, and people who undergo a detox or they undertake a paleo diet, they can see very quickly the results on the surface of the skin. But there are actually some unique supplement protocols that we're now using.
Yes. Olive leaf is a great old standby. Olive leaf is wonderful, an antimicrobial. It's also an antifungal. It'll take us through cold and flu season. There's also the olive leaf soap, which we've tried from time to time. But taking olive leaf orally is a wonderful idea. And some of the new ones that we found, Dr. Hoffman, carnitine and panethene. I never would have figured those two.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
I have to credit my good colleague,
Dr. Jeffrey Dach. It's spelled D-A-C-H. And he's got a great website. He's a doctor in Florida who does some really innovative stuff. And he's uncovered a connection between the energy metabolism of the pores and a tendency towards acne. And carnitine and panethene seem to work on the skin cell's energy metabolism. Panethene is a form of vitamin B5. Mostly you get pantothenic acid when you buy a B complex or get a multiple vitamin, but pantothene is an activated form of vitamin B5, and so the protocol involves using, what are the amounts on that? I don't recall.
I think 750 milligram on the panethene, and I think carnitine was probably 1,000 twice daily, neighborhood. I think those are good doses.
Yeah, I think that would be good. The carnitine, maybe even less. I was surprised at how little was required. It was 250. Usually we use 500 milligram carnitines, but it wouldn't hurt to take the additional carnitine. But they seem to have a synergy, those two things, on skin. and that is a useful combination. Borage oil may have a moisturizing effect on skin.
Borage oil is absolutely wonderful for skin.
Right.
Borage oil is absolutely wonderful for skin.
But you have some insights on fish oil, because fish oil in some of our patients backfires, right?
Well, I'm one of those special people where it backfires, fish oil. I'll eat plenty of fish, but if I start taking fish oil, then I will tend to get more outbreaks. Another thing I want to say, getting back to the Sofido product for a moment, the thing that's wonderful about that product is, you know, you're told to cleanse your skin, get, you know, unblock the pores, exfoliate. That could really work against you, because the more you rub and manipulate your skin, the more you're activating the sebaceous glands, the more oily you're going to become. What's beautiful about the Sofido product is you're not really doing that. And these three steps are kind of quick.
Right.
It's all kind of very, very gentle, very rejuvenating, very nice product.
Also, and I have to say that for me, you know, I guess if I had bad acne, I would be motivated to go through the three steps. But as a guy, I find that it's burdensome to, you know, go through a three-step process. So maybe these products clearly are much more adopted by women. I mean, I got to say, it sounds sexist, but it's true. I think women pay more attention to their skin.
But Dr. Hoffman, wait a minute. After step one, the cleanser, you could take steps two and three, the serum and the moisturizer, and put a dollop in the palm of your hand and just do two and three together. It's really not a big thing.
Well, I'll tell you what I do, and this has become a daily routine for me. After I shave, because shaving is actually a brutal act on the skin. You know, afterwards, you slap some water on after you shave, and your skin is burning. Sometimes you have like little places where it's bleeding. You shaved a little too close. I put on some Manuka skin cream, and it's a Manuka oil. It has a moisturizing effect. It has a soothing and anti-inflammatory effect. And it also, I don't have acne, but other patients who've tried it who have acne say that it can be beneficial as well. So that's a one-step process. But that's also a good general skin protective process for, you know, if you want to go the simple route. And for me, you know, it's like I got about 30 seconds to devote to skin optimization on a daily basis. So Manuka cream is my standby.
Another supplement that that occurs to me is niacinamide.
Ah, yes, indeed. That's a very important. Yes.
Yeah, oral or topical. What's your take on that?
Very good. Yes. Let's remind ourselves that niacinamide has an anti-inflammatory effect, and it also helps the body fight bacteria and fungus. So the dosage might be 250 milligrams three times daily. That's safe. Niacinamide at very high doses, you got to watch out, just like with niacin, although it's much less likely to cause liver problems than niacin. And there's also some sometimes doctors prepare special niacinamide topical products. You know, you can have it made up special, higher doses of niacinamide. So those are some things that can be helpful. It probably would be useful to use an anti-inflammatory like curcumin, my favorite anti-inflammatory product. We use is called Mareva, and that I think would help to reduce some of the inflammation associated with acne. So, you know,
zinc and vitamin C is another protocol to help with the repair and the healing.
No question. And we used to use very high doses of vitamin A, but then we became aware that vitamin A on its own is potentially unsafe, so we don't use such high doses. Accutane, which is a very toxic drug, is actually a synthetic form of vitamin A, but it causes all kinds of problems. So, you know, for the teenager who's tempted to go for the quick fix, Accutane can work, but we do see some patients sometimes who have taken Accutane and have very, very serious long-term health problems. We've seen some patients who've developed autoimmune disease, rheumatoid arthritis, gastrointestinal, inflammatory bowel disease, like ulcerative colitis. And these are known to sometimes cause serious autoimmune problems and health problems.
Yeah.
And so that gives me an idea, because I just wrote an article, The 12 Drugs That You Should Never Take. And I'm thinking I should add Accutane to that. So I may have to write
a sequel to that.
Right.
Yeah.
That'll be in our newsletter this week. So sign up for our newsletter at drhoffman.com. Just click on the little box that says newsletter signups. Give us your email. We'll send you a newsletter every week. And my article this week is the second part, numbers 5 through 8 in the Dirty Dozen, the 12 drugs that you should never take. And but I think I'm going to add Accutane to that list. You also wrote a very nice article that people can look forward to this week, right?
Yeah, I wrote an article. It's actually a question I received about postmenopausal weight loss. A woman writes in that she can't get rid of these pesky 10 pounds. What's going on? I'm exercising. I don't eat sugar or refined carbs. I eat salmon 3 or 4 times a week. So I go into that in this week's newsletter.
I think that question has a great deal of universality.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to hit right into the wheelhouse of a lot of our readers, because that is such a common problem, mm-hmm. is those extra pounds that you gain after menopause, and you have some practical tips for dealing with that. All right, great. So what are some of our questions this week?
Well, first of all, I want to comment here. We got an email. We talked about vitamin D last week, Dr. Hoffman, you and I, and the difference between D2 and D3 and how D3 is better. Well, Joseph from Connecticut emailed us back. He says, thank you very much for reading my question and speaking to the topic of vitamin D on the podcast Friday. I'm taking your advice. I stopped taking the D2 and increased the D3 to the prescribed level. And he says, thanks again. You were both a much-needed asset to the healthcare profession. Thank you for your note, Joseph.
Great. Yeah, I mean, it's really gratifying. It's really gratifying to hear that people are listening and implementing some of our suggestions, and hopefully it's making a difference for you and your family and your loved ones. And just to refresh, the discussion with Joseph, that was his name, right, Joseph?
Yes.
Was about the desirability of taking vitamin D2 versus vitamin D3, and we come down firmly on the side of taking vitamin D3. And just a little bit of a spoiler alert. One of my drugs never to take is the prescription form of vitamin D, which is often vitamin D2. Why do they use an inferior form of vitamin D when we want to rapidly boost people's levels of vitamin D? In the case of vitamin D deficiency or autoimmune diseases, sometimes rheumatologists prescribe it to patients very low in vitamin D. They want to help their rheumatoid arthritis, but they give them the wrong form of vitamin D. So that's bass-ackwards. We want to give them vitamin D3, and we even have the high-dose vitamin D3, 50,000 international units. We make it available to our patients, but we don't sell it on the internet because we're just afraid that people will go a little bit hog wild on vitamin D and do themselves a disservice. I think when you're taking such high doses, you have to do it under doctor's or health professional supervision.
Absolutely.
All right, so that was our comment. Let's field a question.
Do we have time for a question?
Absolutely. What we're going to do is, let's take a question, and then we'll go
all
to
right.
a break,
okay.
and then we'll get into part two of today's Q&A.
Okay. This comes from David from Flushing. He emails us, "Dear Dr. Hoffman, I'm a 47-year-old male. I have enjoyed listening to your radio show for many years, dare I say 20 years, and sincerely appreciate all the information you've provided. I always learn something new with each broadcast. I truly admire your talents as a physician."
Oh, that's very kind. Thank you.
I have a question for your show.
But it's a little bit cruel of him to mention he's been doing it for 20 years. I mean, that kind of dates me, you know.
Don't worry about it. I have a question for your show. Do you have an opinion on how to address keratosis pilaris? I've had it for many years but cannot seem to reverse its effects. Continued success. All the best to you.
Yeah, keratosis pilaris is a type of skin condition where it actually affects the hair follicles and, you know, causes them to look a little like flaky or have like little fragments coming off them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to, you know, as I sit here at my computer, I'm trying to look for a picture of this. It's sometimes referred to as lichen pilaris. It's got a genetic basis. It's a common skin condition in which a protein in the skin called keratin forms hard plugs within hair follicles. So I got it right. You know, I got to say, thanks, Mom and Dad, for sending me to medical school. It was worth it because I actually remember some of this stuff. And it makes the skin look, and I see a picture of it. It looks kind of these little nasty red spots. Wow. Wait a minute. Worldwide, check this out. KP affects an estimated 40 to 50% of the adult population, approximately 50 to 80% of all adolescents.
Wow.
It actually says it's prevalent in persons of all races, although it's a little less obvious in a dark-skinned person. And it's the result of excess keratin production, and it surrounds and entraps the hair follicles in the pore. And it's, you know, sometimes it looks like an ingrown hair. 50 to 80% of all adolescents have this. Oh, my goodness.
Wow. And this is a 47-year-old male.
Right. So it's commonly described in association with other dry skin conditions, such as ichthyosis vulgaris. That's ichthyosis is like a dry skin condition. Xerosis, that's just a fancy word for dry skin. Atopic dermatitis. And but also with asthma and allergies. So when I see this condition, I really think allergies. We look at foods. We also look at nutritional support. So my treatment of this is not so different than my treatment of what might be called atopic dermatitis, which is, or dry skin, which is, now we can get into the drill. Why don't you take it away from here, because you know pretty well what we do for these dry skin type conditions.
Dry skin, we want to look at their essential fatty acid profiles for one thing, to see how much essential fatty acids they have or don't, and which ones to replenish. That's really the intelligent way to do it. EPA, DHA, whether it's the omega-6s like a borage oil or something like that. Maybe also they don't have enough olive oil in their diets. Maybe, all kinds of things, even personal hygiene. When the hot water is too hot in your shower, that will severely dry your skin. That's another thing that can happen. But allergies, certainly diet modification, removing any allergenic foods, anything that's going to cause the inflammatory part of this.
Layla, I'm looking at this article in Wikipedia, and Wikipedia is very conservative, when they talk about things. And they talk about all the things that can be helpful, topical retinoids and steroid creams and glycolic acid peels and all the conventional treatments that might be offered by standard dermatology. And the very last sentence under treatment says, many keratosis pilaris affected find improvement by changing their diets and going gluten-free.
Last sentence, huh?
Okay, right. Very last sentence. But, and that would be important, because what's interesting is the appearance of this is not that different from the appearance of gluten sensitivity on the skin, which, causes a distinctive condition called dermatitis herpetiformis. Now, dermatitis herpetiformis is a more serious condition. It's associated with true celiac disease.
It's like the skin celiac disease, almost, if we could call it that.
Yeah. Almost like our little bubbles or herpetic lesions on the skin that are very uncomfortable and sting and itch. But this may be a mild or frustrated form of full-blown dermatitis herpetiformis in a certain percentage of patients who receive this. I mean, look, it's not surprising that people have these skin problems because they get no essential fatty acids. Often they have inadequate vitamin D, which affects skin conditions, and they eat diets that really they shouldn't be eating, and high in sugar, high in refined foods.
Very crappy vegetable oils.
Vegetable
that
oils
are in all of our processed foods are corn oil, safflower, sunflower, soybean oil, all of that. Cottonseed is probably
which
the
really
worst.
Damage the functionality of the oil secreting glands, the sebaceous glands in the skin, because their job is to secrete protective oils, just like the old-fashioned raincoats used to be called oil skins, and animal skins repel rain, and so do human skins with the proper oil covering. But, there's this constant process by which your sebaceous glands secrete oil, but the oil's got to come from somewhere. And if you eat a lot of crappy oil, it's like putting the wrong kind of motor oil in your car, it's going to seize up, and those sebaceous glands are going to just not function well. So healthy oils. Pretty much this is kind of a continuation of our discussion of acne.
A lot of these skin conditions are also related to gluten. I mean, how many patients do we see with eczema, with psoriasis, with other, dermatographia? A lot of these are related to gluten.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
So, also, here one other suggestion. I like extra virgin coconut oil for application on the skin as a nice, really nice skin moisturizer. Mm-hmm. I think you recommend that to a lot of our patients.
And I have a jar in my kitchen and a jar in my bathroom.
And why should it be extra virgin? Because you can get regular, but extra virgin actually may contain some additional natural anti-inflammatories and antibacterials.
That's
the lauric acid content is a little bit higher in an unrefined extra virgin product.
In the refined product, you're going to have a lot of that taken away by heat, possibly a catalyst. You don't want the refined product. Always the extra virgin and organic, even so. And we have that here, as a matter of fact.
So if you are told that you suffer from keratosis pilaris and you think that's a rare esoteric disease, think again, because it's highly prevalent. And it's sort of that sandpapery shark skin that some people seem to have with exaggerated pore, flakiness around the hair, the base of the hair, and keratin plugs or ingrown hairs, particularly, the upper arms, the back of the upper arms. That's a place where that can especially occur, the thighs and so on.
More hair follicles. Yeah.
Exactly. All right. This is a logical place to pause. For those of you listening, this is part one of today's Q&A with Layla. Please go to our podcast page and proceed with part two to hear the continuation and additional questions. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.